Welcome to Reading the Grid with Erin and Ina. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight the history of this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. Now let's jump into it. We're recording this in the final week of the 2025 F1 summer break. And today we're diving into Netflix's documentary, The Seat, the Kimi Antonelli story. The film tracks how a 17-year-old standout rookie went from junior standout to Mercedes race driver, stepping into the seat left behind by Lewis Hamilton. It gives us a backstage pass into Mercedes' decision-making, showing the pressure, the promise, and the risks of handing such a young driver one of the most coveted seats in Formula One. But the big question is, did they put him in that seat too soon?
Kimi's first half of the season has been a roller coaster. He made history as the youngest ever points earner in Australia, the youngest ever sprint pole sitter in Miami, and celebrated his first F1 podium in Canada. But the highs did not last. Four retirements in the last seven races, missed points, a huge pace differential between him and his teammate, George Russell, and the weight of expectations have tested both his confidence and Mercedes's patience. And with the W16 proving unpredictable, the team hasn't exactly made life easy for their rookie star. Even Max Verstappen didn't debut in the top-tier team. He started at Toro Rosso before moving to Red Bull. So, did Mercedes gamble too soon on Antonelli? That's what we're here to unpack today. The documentary, the reality of his season, and what it all means for the future of both Kimi and Mercedes.
To give a little bit of background and context for those who have not seen the documentary, Kimi Antonelli is actually Andrea Kimi Antonelli, was born in Bologna, Italy in 2006, and quickly rose through karting in junior single-seaters, winning titles at nearly every level. Mercedes spotted his talent early, signing him to their junior program at just 11 years old. Fast forward to 2025, and at only 17, turning 18, Antonelli has stepped into one of the most coveted seats in Formula One. He replaced Lewis Hamilton at Mercedes. Unlike many young stars who cut their teeth in midfield teams, Antonelli bypassed that route entirely, becoming the youngest driver ever to race for Mercedes. That move has put him under immense pressure, carrying not just the weight of Mercedes' expectations, but also the hopes of Italian motorsport, eager for its next superstar.
The Seat, the Kimi Antonelli story on Netflix, captures this pivotal moment, blending early career highlights with behind-the-scenes looks at Mercedes' decision-making. The film frames Antonelli as both a prodigy and a gamble, leaving viewers to wonder if we are watching the birth of F1's next legend or talent pushed into the spotlight too soon. Comparison to Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc and George Russell loom large, but unlike those drivers who proved themselves at Toro Rosso, Sauber, and Williams, respectively, before graduating to top teams, Antonelli jumped straight into the deep end. The context sets the stage for both the documentary and the debate it sparks.
My personal take on the seat is that overall, it was a bit underwhelming. I was very curious going in, especially since it was sponsored by WhatsApp, which already felt like a strange choice. I know you have your opinion on that too. The integration of that came across a little forced, especially in moments with Toto Wolff. And we all know I love Toto, but watching him in full business mode was at times a little uncomfortable because it seemed so staged and unnatural. That said, there were things I did genuinely enjoy. I liked learning more about Kimi's background. That was a highlight. His natural talent, the detail about him remembering every single lap time was fascinating. I really loved seeing more of Peter Bonington, Bono, who, in my opinion, is one of the greatest race engineers ever. He's worked with Schumacher, Hamilton, and now Antonelli. And the way he role played in those scenes was interesting to watch. Honestly, I would watch a whole documentary just about him. There were lighter touches that stuck with me too, like Kimmy's grandmother and that incredible looking lasagna. I am available for a dinner anytime. Those family moments gave it some heart. Though when it comes to Antonelli's actual story, the heart of what The Seat is supposed to be, I feel like the documentary didn't give us enough. It had its moments, but overall, it landed somewhere in the middle. Not terrible, but kind of meh.
Yeah,
it didn't do much.
The expectations were too high. And I think in terms of expectations, what we saw from Drive to Survive, which I think kind of took the best moments and put them in the Drive to Survive episode and left the rest for this film.
I think
my personal favorite was the Toto Bear was guarding Kimmy's trophies. I'm like, that has to be in this, right?
Because I would have expected it to be.
Yeah. But they put it in Drive to Survive, didn't put it here. So that was interesting. But yeah, I agree. It was very underwhelming. I thought in terms of insights, there were three highlights that I think provided enough insight that make this movie worthwhile. And the first was reviewing who they were considering for the Mercedes seat that Kimmy ultimately took and why that didn't work out. Max Verstappen, self-explanatory. But the insight that I appreciated was about Carlos Sainz. That was, I believe it was James Allison, who's the technical director, who on the phone quickly mentions that Sainz would never sign a one-year contract.
I found that really interesting. I didn't realize they were looking for a one-year contract.
Well, I knew that was the case because if you remember, Bottas, in the entire history with Mercedes, has never had more than a one-year contract.
I always forget that because he was there for so long.
Yes, and he kept begging for more than a multi-year.
Yeah.
And would never get it. Lewis, the best at the end that he could get was 1+1, meaning at the end of 1 year, they could decide not to continue with him, which prompted him, one of the reasons, prompted his move to Ferrari. And even George Russell, the main reason why he's still not signed to Mercedes is because he refuses to agree to one or a 1+1 deal.
So I want to hit on your other two. Mm-hmm. Why do you think a team like Mercedes only signs 1 year contracts?
I don't think it's a team like Mercedes. I think it's Toto Wolff. I think the main reason is to give himself more options so that he doesn't have to buy out a contract in case a star driver comes along or another driver becomes available that he absolutely needs to have in the seat. I honestly think this shows how little he thought of Bottas because it shows that he probably thought he was expendable and every year there might be opportunity to get someone better.
Well, but even Lewis.
With Lewis,
I don't understand why you wouldn't sign Lewis on more than 1+1.
I think he had more than 1+1 until the end. And at the end, it was obvious.
The end makes sense. But
yeah, I think Toto was waiting for Kimi to mature enough to be in the seat. And that's one of the reasons I think. And that's, I also heard, it just was never confirmed. Because if you remember, Carlos Sainz specifically said that he had offers from every team. But he was looking for a long-term project, i.e.
Right.
Obviously he had one-year contract offers. And that made sense. So I think the reason why they wouldn't offer Carlos Sainz more than a 1 year is because they were thinking, A, okay, if Max becomes available, we need to be flexible. Two, if Kimi is good enough, we have to make that switch, again, without more pain for us. So, yeah, but I actually kind of either assumed or knew it's likely that it was the one-year contract that Sainz refused to sign, but it was good to finally have it confirmed.
I agree. Okay, so what are your other two? I'm curious.
My other two? Well, one of them, and it has to do with Kimi's parents, and unfortunately, those two moments do not show them in the best of lights. So the first moment was after they actually show the Monza F1 practice session where Kimi, with all the eyes of Italy on him, crashes. So he talks about his devastation, which makes perfect sense because it was his moment to shine and he just couldn't
That's a
handle the
lot of
pressure,
pressure. Yeah.
right? Couldn't handle the pressure, whatever went wrong, even though, again, Toto takes it in stride. Obviously, it deeply affected Kimmy. But then his mother gives an interview when she talks about how she cried for days and then she was so embarrassed and she was really mortified when other people brought it up. So when she first said she cried for days, I thought it was because she felt so bad for Kimmy that he felt so bad about it. So that was very understandable. And you could feel compassionate towards her. But then when she kept talking about how it was embarrassing and she felt horrible when other people brought it up, what does it matter? I mean,
That's
who
your
cares
kid.
what
You
other people,
protect your kid.
right?
Your kid is young and just had a very public and difficult experience.
Right. So why were you thinking about how it looked, how
I
embarrassing it
know that
was?
was that put me off quite a bit. I thought,
Yeah.
and his dad and him clearly have not had the easiest of relationships.
Well, that comes to my third moment, which is the conversation in the car when you realize that Papa Antonelli is very close to Papa Verstappen's school of parenting
Yeah,
than
not
Papa
great.
Hamilton, which is what
Yeah.
I thought he was closer to.
I was expecting them to be more in that vein of parenting, the Papa Hamilton compared to Verstappen. At least I was
Ex
hopeful
well, at
for
least
Kimmy.
somewhere in the middle, but it
Right.
seemed
Happy
like
medium.
a happy medium, but it seemed like, I mean, thankfully, we didn't get into physical abuse, which again, I'm sure Max will say that that wasn't what happened, but based on his stories, that's exactly what it was. But, you know, Kimi's father did talk about being extremely upset when Kimi didn't perform the way he expected, yelling at him, and Kimi basically thinking he was an asshole. So,
Well, it sounds like he was.
yes, but again, that conversation was just so, like, there was so much in it that you just wanted to dive in. Like, what happened? How did it evolve? Obviously, they're in a better place now. So why? That could have
Well,
been a
let's
show.
hope they are. Maybe now isn't as great because there are people saying that Toto rushed the decision and that Kimi shouldn't be in the seat and it's too much pressure. So, are his parents only there when things are going great on the upside?
I don't think
Or
so
I
because
hope
when
they're
he.
not fair weather fans of their own son.
No, because I remember his horrible weekend in Imola when Toto Wolff was not there and he invited his whole class to watch
I
him.
know, that was
And
so sweet.
yeah, but he
That was a
performed
terrible
poorly.
race.
Race. And I know his parents were there and I remember seeing pictures of them supporting him. So at least publicly, I think that relationship looks very healthy. And also, I think in the documentary, the fact that he and his father can talk about that period in his life when his father was demanding and
And
yelling,
difficult, yeah.
yeah, and they seem to have an open conversation, I think that bodes well. I want to think they're in a
I'll
better
give him the
place.
benefit of the doubt. I thought it was sweet when he gave him his grandfather's good luck charm that was passed down for him to carry with him.
Yes. I mean, the whole family seems looked very wholesome and healthy, and I would hope
I
is
hope.
authentic to how that relationship actually is. But overall, I think the documentary was basically WhatsApp infomercial, and these WhatsApp scenes were the fakest I've ever seen.
Oh, I know. That was painful to watch, which I think did a disservice to the documentary. So, as prematurely as maybe they have put him in a seat, were they a bit premature in doing a documentary? Should they have at least waited to finish his rookie year?
Probably, but it was so unprecedented, and there was so much interest in him.
I
And
know.
they have the title cards at the end talking about how well he performed in his first race.
Yeah.
So I don't know if when that result happened, they realized, oh my God, we are in for the most incredible season ever from him. Let's rush this in so that we can capitalize on the momentum of him building upon this result and just delivering better and better in future races.
Could be. And I think back to the title and the whole point of it's filling the seat, and who do you choose to fill Lewis Hamilton's shoes, and what that process looked like for Mercedes. And it was interesting getting to meet some of the other team members that we don't usually see on a race weekend. the ones that are more behind the scenes. I really liked watching the development of him and Bono's relationship in the documentary, although I feel really bad for when they said we need a doctor when they were doing the pit stops.
Well, and it's cute. Like, I think like that's actually what I wanted to see more of.
Me too. I thought that was very interesting.
They showed very high level, I would say, glimpses of what goes on. And all of this is interesting, and all of that we don't really see on a day-to-day basis. So that could have been more interesting that what they chose to focus on. And that's the thing, they didn't even focus that much on the search. They just barely covered it because at that point, the attention was more on Kimmy.
You're
So
right.
I feel like the search is not even the correct term for it. It's almost like this is the chosen one, and how do
Yes.
we bring him on board in the best possible way? And there's so many things that they didn't show. For instance, with Red Bull, right? That they have a sister team, and the whole point of the sister team, Toro Rosso or now Racing Bulls or RB, is that they develop young talent. So the whole point of this team is to get someone like Kimi in. So if he
Right.
was in the Red Bull, obviously he would not have gotten a Red Bull seat right away.
No, he'd be in Racing Bulls,
Exactly.
which would be a great entry in to F1. He did F4, skipped F3, did
Correct.
F2. Did he finish F2?
Yes, he did not do that great. I
But
think
he
he did
didn't
better than
win.
Bearman, but sorry.
He didn't win F2.
Not even close. He was, I think, six. And the only reason he was six, I remember, because Colapinto, when he was called up to Williams in 2024, was in sixth place. So he moved up because Colapinto left for F2.
I am no expert, and clearly I am not Toto Wolff or a team principal. But all of those things would say they might have rushed this.
Well, this is the thing. So what I was going to also mention about Charles Leclerc, right? The reason he started at Sauber is because, again, Sauber gets the Ferrari engine. So when Ferrari at that time, now it's going to be a little bit different since
Right.
Sauber is going to become Audi. But at that time, like they kind of were dependent on whatever Ferrari wanted, and Ferrari wanted their prospects to end up in Sauber. Something similar is happening with Oli Bearman at Haas, because Haas is getting not only Ferrari engine, but pretty much Ferrari spare parts. So, hey, if they want Oli Bearman in Haas, he gets to be in Haas.
Right.
And just in, but if Williams, this is the interesting thing, because once they got George Russell, they made sure he had a 3-year contract. And they refused to let him out. So he had to
Right.
spend 3 years in the worst Williams possible.
Yes, that was painful for him.
Yes. And I actually thought, like, this is where I thought Toto Wolff went cheap. Because if I were Toto Wolff, I would throw money at Williams to get him released sooner. Because I feel like 3 years is way too long in that horrible team. At that time,
At
it's
that
gotten
time.
so much better. Right.
Correct. Oh, how do you think George Russell feels about Kimi Antonelli?
Well, that's the thing, because I think Toto's preference would have been to put him in Williams. But Williams, i.e., James Vowles, who came from Mercedes, would
Right.
not take him for a year. Like, he would want a long-term contract.
Right.
So, what Toto could have done at the time is given the same number of years to Sainz, right? So, Sainz gets into Mercedes for more than 1 year, which is what he wanted. Kimi gets to mature in a team that's on its up and up.
It is. Vowles
Because
is doing a nice job at Williams.
Williams is better than it used to be. And, by the time Kimi's contract is up, Sainz's contract will be up, and they could do the switch or whatever Sainz wants to do in terms of which team he wants to join afterwards, and he could get Kimi into Mercedes. But I think Toto had rose-colored glasses with Kimi. I think he sees, I don't know if he sees him now, but at that time, he saw him as the next coming of Max Verstappen. And so he did not want to give him away for more than a year, because he felt after that year, Kimi would have definitely been ready for Formula One or for Mercedes seat.
Well, it'll be curious to see how the second half of this season, how it goes.
After a deep dive into Netflix's The Seat, the Kimi Antonelli story, just in time for the resumption of race season in Zandvoort, We will be watching with interest whether Kimi's form improves, as well as how he stacks up against his other rookies who are showing impressive gains. We cannot wait to return to watching racing in a place where weather strategy and home crowd fury could turn a narrow track into a theater of surprises.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an update.
Would also love to hear from you, whether it's your thoughts on today's episode, your suggestions for F1 books, shows, or movies to explore, or a shout out to your favorite F1 prodigy. Connect with us on Instagram, YouTube, or X, or drop us an email at readingthegrid@gmail.com. We want your ideas to fuel this podcast, so don't be shy.
Thanks for joining us on Reading the Grid. Keep your engines running and your pages turning. Until next time.